Hello and welcome to Summer Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. Israel will be holding parliamentary elections on March the 17th, and predictably, its politicians aren't talking about peace with the Palestinians. They're making military threats against Gaza. On today's show, we're going to throw the spotlight on these elections with particular consideration to how they'll affect Palestinians. How democratic will they be? And what will be the position of Palestinians who are actually eligible to vote in them? Also, what is likely to be the makeup of the new Zionist regime and what difference, if any, will that make to the pursuit of peace talks or ending the occupation? All that's to come, but first, let's hear what Palestinians in the West Bank think of the upcoming Israeli elections. Here's Mona Kandil in Ramallah.
The decades-long Arab boycott of Israeli national elections seems to be continuing. As Israelis prepare for the general elections on the 17th of March, many of the Arabs, those Palestinians who are still living in the areas occupied in 1948, known as Israel now, say the polls would only bring an extremist Israeli regime, no matter who would be leading it, even without the current Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
It's unreasonable for a country to be Jewish and democratic at the same time. This is a contradiction. Israel is not as democratic as it claims. All previous Israeli governments were not democratic either. We want to live in dignity.
I have never and will never vote in the Israeli elections because if I make a vote, this means I recognize and accept that there is an occupying power that has legal rights on the ground. Whether we participated in the elections or not, nothing will change.
However, this time the Arab parties have chosen to join together on a ticket. And it seems that the Arab parties have a chance to get 15 Knesset seats, marking an increase from the consistent 11 spots they won in 2013. The majority of the Palestinians who said they might vote has considered that improving their economic situation is the most important thing for them in these polls, while others said that their top priority was a resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
This time I will vote in the elections and choose the Arab Unified List because it's going to be the only representative for us in the Israeli Knesset. The Israeli parties usually propose bills that are against the Arabs and their existence. This is why we have to form a deterrent power in the Knesset.
In recent Israeli elections, around half of the Arabs boycotted the polls. They have always complained of discrimination in all areas of life, which they say has worsened under Netanyahu's regime.
On the ground, whether there would be slight participation in the Israeli elections or not, a scenario in which Arab Palestinians could change the direction of Israel through elections is still a long time off. For The Sun Will Rise, this is Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
To discuss and debate how the upcoming Israeli elections will affect the Palestinians, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Jafar Amini is a Palestinian writer, commentator and analyst on Middle Eastern affairs who's based in London. And Yusuf Al-Hilu is a journalist from Gaza who's reported from there for many years, most notably during Operation Cast Lead in 2008-2009. Thank you very much. Welcome to both of you today. Jafar, if I could start with you. I want to talk first of all about Palestinians living in Israel, the 48 area. What are the implications for them in these upcoming elections?
Well, no elections, no matter what, will be any good for the Palestinians. The Palestinians who live under occupation since 1948 are treated at best as an unwelcome guest and second-class citizens. So no matter who comes in, they will be discriminated against. Only a couple of days ago, Mr. Lieberman said any Israeli Arab who is not with us should have his head removed by an axe. So whatever comes, it bodes not well for the Palestinians.
Would you agree with that, Yusuf?
Well, as a matter of fact, any Israeli leader in the government tries his best to please
his people by being aggressive, by showing that he's against the resistance, against the Palestinians. Mm. And he uses this kind of military campaigns against Gaza or the West Bank as a winning card to assure the people in his country that, you know, I'm the protector, I'm the good guy. But as a matter of fact, of course, Palestinians inside the 1948, they are following these elections, and it's essential for them to have political representation, since they are the minority who constitute about 20% of the total population of 6 million.
I mean, in that report from the West Bank that we just saw, there does seem to be a bit of a split over, I mean, traditionally, Palestinians in Israel, they do, about half of them vote, which is obviously a far less than the native Israeli population. Or I shouldn't use that term, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be a split over whether they should vote or not. Some say vote tactically, some say boycott the elections entirely, because if you vote, you're recognizing Israel, you're recognizing the occupier. Where do you stand on that, Jaffa?
Well, I stand on the side that they should vote. That doesn't mean normalization. If they vote, then they have a voice. And as the young lady said, with the new unified list of the Arab parties, they have a chance to have a voice in the Knesset that will affect their daily lives and how they're treated by the Israeli government. Before these elections, we had two big Palestinian stars in the Knesset, Hanin Zoubi and Ahmed Tibi. Both of them are heckled, removed from the Knesset, and as a matter of fact, Zoubi was barred from these elections, then reinstated. So for me, the Palestinians should vote for their own people with their own policies and their own
but
agendas.
But isn't that an argument against voting, because they don't seem to have achieved anything inside the Knesset?
Well, if without them, you will achieve less. They at least Ahmed Tibi and Hanin Zoubi make a noise. Mm. They make our presence felt.
Yeah.
As Youssef said, we the Palestinians in 48 constitute 20% of the population, but they have the least of the budgetary money,
amount, yeah.
And they have the least development, okay. the least education, the least everything.
We'll continue this in a few seconds. And Youssef, I will allow you to respond to that. We're going to change pace slightly now, because a major conference has been taking place in London about Palestine and the events which led up to the establishment of Israel and Britain's role in it. But as Camelia Shambayati reports, due to pressure from Zionist groups, the conference very nearly didn't take place.
Hundreds of people have booked their tickets to attend a major conference held here in London about Palestine, which aims to shed light on the establishment of Israel and Britain's role in it. And despite months of planning, the organisers had to change the venue at the last minute after a suspicious venue cancellation earlier in the week.
The Federation of Student Islamic Societies, or FOSIS, spent 6 months planning this year's Palestine conference, and it was supposed to be held at the famous British University Imperial College, but they refused to host it after a tip-off from so-called external forces. I spoke with the organiser, who explained their suspicious cancellation and believed this pressure came from Zionist groups.
They said specifically that they felt they needed to protect the people who are coming at the conference, because they cannot control what the speakers can say, and that some of the speakers have made extremist remarks in the past, and they're worried about racial profiling and extremism happening at the conference. And obviously, when we asked them, where are you basing this information on? What are your sources for saying what you are and making the claims that you are making? And they said external sources, and external sources to us is quite obvious.
Keynote speeches were delivered by renowned international speakers, including Mustafa Barghouti, who flew from Palestine to speak. He shared his thoughts on the Zionist attempt to prevent the conference from happening.
They are trying to prevent people from hearing the truth, especially in countries like Britain, United States, Canada, and other places. But that is a reflection of their lack of confidence and their knowledge that they are on the wrong path. These actions, like preventing this conference from taking place in the Imperial College or in another university, will not impede or stop the conference from taking place, and it is going to take place. And in my opinion, there will be even more attendance than was expected. These methods, in my opinion, reflect the fact that we are winning the public opinion.
Another keynote speaker focused on the history of Jews and Palestinians living together in harmony, something perhaps the Zionists don't want people to know.
Jews, Muslims and Christians lived side by side, and it's something that's undeniable, historically speaking. This was interrupted at the time of the Crusades when Europeans came and invaded the Holy Land, and they killed, many accounts talk about 70,000 just within Al-Aqsa Mosque. And it was a very barbaric conquest of the Crusades. Then you have Salah ad-Din, who re-entered and took the city and didn't kill the Christians the same way they did.
Although academic institutions are supposed to be places of education and open-mindedness, this last-minute cancellation by a British academic institution shows the hypocrisy of freedom of speech in the UK. However, the Palestinian supporters remain steadfast for the freedom of Palestine.
Yusuf, just before we went to that report, Jaffa was saying that Palestinians in Israel, okay, the elections are not will do nothing for them, but nevertheless they should vote tactically. What say you? Do you agree with that, or do you take a different point of view?
Well, I'm not totally against what Jaffa said. I mean, of course, they need representation for their basic services, education, health, since they live there. Mm. But the thing is, the question should be, what should be done in order to pressure Israel to treat its citizens equally? They are being treated as second or even third class citizens. Those who refuse to serve in the Israeli army, at some point they are being punished. And let's also not forget what some Israeli officials, they've asked these indigenous population, Arab Palestinians, not to mention the word Nakba. So they even are allowed to talk.
They're never going to treat the Palestinians equally, are they? I mean, they think it's a Jewish state, right? So
well, that's right. I think they try to show that they're being generous for these people to live there, despite the fact that they constitute about 20%, which is not a big percentage.
If I may, I disagree with this. The Israelis have offered us three choices since the inception of Israel. Mm. Leave, submit, or die. Mm. There's no other choices. The people who decided to stay in 48 are very brave people. They don't want to live in refugee camps. They don't want to leave their lands and home. And they have been treated in less than human way. And they stayed, and they took it.
But did they submit?
They have never submitted. As Yusuf just said, they asked them to join the army. They refuse, and they are punished for it. Mm. The services that are provided by the infrastructure of the Israeli government give them the bare minimum. Mm. So for me, for them not to vote, they will leave a big vacuum for other Israelis to move in, like the entire Arab world left a huge vacuum in the media and allow the Israeli narrative to dominate without engaging. The Palestinians should engage, and should engage inside Israel, inside the West Bank, inside Gaza, and in the diaspora.
But Yusuf, I mean, isn't that, I mean, I understand your argument 100%, but some people are going to say that is recognizing the occupier.
Well, I mean, it's obvious, you know, all Israeli officials, they never stopped expanding the settlements. They always assure their people that they will not recognize the Palestinian state, and they keep asking the Palestinians to make more concessions. And even those who are going to vote, of course, they know that at the end of the day, they are voting just to have the minimum basics. They are not going to really ask for the end of the occupation. I mean, if they try to do so, of course, they will be punished in a way or another. For example, take the Israeli foreign minister's speech or statement. He said recently, just a few days ago, that disloyal Arabs should be beheaded.
Yeah.
So what kind of discrimination or racism is this? This is like an attempt to silence.
They're in an extraordinarily difficult situation, aren't they, the Palestinians in Israel? They're kind of damned if they don't vote, and they're damned if they do vote.
It's like between their rock and a hard place. Yeah. I mean, they found themselves, but I have to say that they are resilient, they are steadfast, they resisted all attempts by Israeli officials, current ones, who ask all the time for these people to be transferred into the West Bank.
Right.
Yeah. This is their original homeland, and they will stay there.
Jaffer?
Well, they're still doing it. I mean, the transfer, which is, this is this quaint swaps when they do the agreement for the two-state solution, i.e. Israel goes back to 1967 with swaps. The swaps is for the Arabs of the north, where I happen to be from. Mm. For these majority Arab villages and towns to go back with the West Bank so the Israelis can take another pieces of land near Gaza, near Hebron, and the huge block settlements. This is no solution. This is papering over the cracks.
Yeah.
I, as a Palestinian, born in Jenin in 1943, I am against any settlement with the Israelis that does not restore our full rights from the river to the sea. How is for a different discussion.
Yeah.
I am not for the two-state solution. I'm not for the separation of the Palestinians. This is from Gaza. This is from 48. This is from West Bank.
Sure.
We are all Palestinians. Yeah. And if I may, Roshan, the problem is from within. So far as the Palestinians are divided on partisan lines, we are in trouble.
Yeah.
Palestine should be the priority of all of Palestine.
Okay, we're gonna just break for a few minutes, and then we're gonna talk about Palestinians outside of Israel in the next section. For now, your views and comments are an integral part of this show, and we always try to prioritize your input on our social media pages. So here's Camelia again with what you've been saying about the upcoming Israeli elections.
Welcome to this week's social media roundup. Now, there's been an uproar online against Israeli politicians who are actually appealing to voters by inciting extreme violence against Palestinians and for them to be expelled. And one of the most shocking remarks was made by Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman, who called for the beheading of Palestinians in a recent campaign event. And people have had a lot to say about this on Facebook. Farah from Pakistan said, "What is the difference between ISIL and Israel? They both have the same mindset and are land grabbers." Meanwhile, Letitia from the UK shared her disgust. She said, "It's a disgrace that these war criminals get away with saying these things just because they're our allies. Israel is an apartheid state that must be demolished. They are constantly breaking international laws." Moving on now, a YouTube video has emerged showing Israeli forces invading the apartment of International Solidarity campaign volunteers as a part of an operation of continual harassment against activists in Hebron. And the ISM is a Palestinian-led movement committed to resisting the systematic oppression and dispossession of the Palestinians in a peaceful way, but are still subjected to this kind of Israeli aggression. And finally, marking International Women's Day, the Palestinian Prisoners Society released a statement dedicated to 20 Palestinian women serving in Israeli jails. They saluted the Palestinian women for their role in their struggle and sacrifices in their national resistance of their people. According to them, Israel has kidnapped nearly 15,000 Palestinian women since 1967. And that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please do follow our Facebook and Twitter pages, The Sun Will Rise Show, for more updates on Palestine.
Yusuf, we've spoken about how these upcoming elections will affect Palestinians inside what is now known as Israel. What about Palestinians outside of those areas, in the West Bank, Gaza, and elsewhere? What are the stakes for them in the upcoming elections? Are they relevant at all? Or?
Well, I mean, no doubt, since we live in the same region, they're the occupiers, we are the victims. Of course, people are following closely the developments, and they will be watching to see who's going to become the next prime minister. But I mean, we are not really holding like high hopes that the next one is going to do any better, or to be at least, more merciful or less merciful for the Palestinians. We know that all Israeli officials, they, come to the scene to be the tough guys, to scare the Palestinians, to force them to make concessions. And even regarding the Jerusalem aids. Israel is worried from the demographic growth, and even Jerusalem aids, they are not allowed to vote, I think, and Israel keeps revoking their identity cards. So
I mean, in Gaza specifically, I mean, it looks like Netanyahu will win. I mean, it's not he seems to, there'll be some horse trading after the elections.
Sure.
Coalition will be cobbled together. He'll probably remain prime minister. How are they viewing that in Gaza, given what he did last year?
Well, Netanyahu and his government are the most extreme, far fanatic government ever ruled in Israel.
Yeah.
And imagine three wars against Gaza in less than 6 years, the siege. So, I mean, people say that, you know, at least we know Netanyahu.
Yeah.
But if the new guy comes, then he has to spend some time until, you know, we show his, I mean, we see his intention. So people, of course, you know, they are dismayed from the apathy of the so-called international community. Look what happened when Netanyahu went to Washington. He received applauses and, you know, he was received as a hero. It was embarrassing for Obama. So it seems Netanyahu, he's got a big influence. And if he stays in power, this means Palestinians will have to face more aggression.
Yeah. What about, I mean, Jaffer, I mean, we're assuming that Netanyahu is still going to be prime minister. There is a slight chance he might not be. Is the Israeli left, the so-called Israeli left, any better?
Left, right, center, it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of personality. It doesn't matter who leads the Israeli government. The Zionist mission is Palestine, called Israel, all of it, preferably with no Palestinians in it. So whoever wins the election or whoever puts a coalition together, it doesn't bode well for the Palestinians in the West Bank, in Gaza, in the diaspora. They don't want us. They want us vanished. There are a plethora of statements by Israeli government officials who do not even consider the people of Gaza as civilians. They consider them as combatant, and as such, they should be killed or expelled. In the West Bank, I visited. I saw the checkpoints. I saw the humiliation in the streets by these feral young soldiers who are collected from around the world, giving 6 weeks training and an M16 and sent into the West Bank. I have seen the water being cut off for days on end. Recently, they not only cut the water, they cut the electricity and they flooded Gaza. So it doesn't matter who the government is. The mission here, the mission of the Zionists, get rid of the Palestinians.
Okay, we're going to end on that note. So thank you both for your excellent contributions today, but that is the end of the show. That's all we got time for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests, and don't forget to get busy on social media, please, telling us what you think of the issues raised in the programme. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.